Another wrench thrown into TikTok's future. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. China's foreign ministry says Beijing must now sign off on any deal that involves selling Chinese technology abroad that's able to recognize speech or make personal recommendations. In other words, the technology used by ByteDance's popular video sharing app, TikTok. The move comes after President Donald Trump set a November 12th deadline for TikTok to sell its U.S., Canadian, Australian, and New Zealand businesses to a U.S. company or risk being blocked in America. So far, Microsoft, Oracle, and Walmart have expressed interest. But could the new rules from Beijing block any sale? The BBC's Karishma Vaswani says at this point, it's unclear.
It is very difficult to ascertain whether or not ByteDance will be able to go ahead with the sale. At the same time, though, I think Chinese authorities are very much aware that this is a very difficult situation for ByteDance in the United States, because effectively, if it doesn't go ahead with the sale, it cannot operate there. These kinds of regulations, when they were created, was towards the end of the global financial crisis. And when they were first conceived, the idea was China was about to embark on this technological advancement of all of its companies and this sort of mandate that Beijing wanted its national champions to have so that they could start focusing on the kinds of things that China is today now very much a leader in. But certainly this would be highly unusual if it was seen to be targeting TikTok. That is the analysis around that, but Beijing hasn't come out and said that that is the case.
And have we had any response from TikTok or ByteDance, even the Trump administration, about these new rules?
TikTok and ByteDance have not said anything beyond the fact that they are aware of the rules and that they would comply with any said regulations. But that's what they would have to say, given the fact that they are operating under Chinese law. And it's a very delicate issue for companies like ByteDance that want to be global companies, but they operate within the Chinese framework. And now, in many ways, they're caught between the U.S. administration and the Chinese one, because effectively the trade war has made it so that both the Trump administration can't be seen to be going light or soft, rather, on Chinese companies, and neither can Beijing be seen to be accepting what it has called bullying from President Trump on its own firms.
The BBC's Karishma Vaswani, thank you.
Thank you, Victoria.
Checking financial markets now, China's yuan is on track for its best month since January 2019, after fresh data today showed the country's services sector continued to strengthen this month from the coronavirus pandemic. European stocks are largely higher on that news. The Pan-European Stock 600 index is up about 0.5%. Markets here in the UK, meanwhile, are closed for a bank holiday. The first ever commercial flight between Israel and the United Arab Emirates took off near Tel Aviv less than an hour ago. That's after the two countries earlier this month agreed to normalize relations. From Jerusalem, the BBC's Yolande Nell explains the significance of Flight 971.
The word peace has been freshly painted on the side of this El Al plane in Arabic, English and Hebrew. It will take Israeli officials to talks with Emiratis on setting up formal ties, opening embassies and allowing travel and business. Already the UAE has ended its trade boycott of Israel. After meeting White House advisers who'll be on the flight, Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said his country was in secret talks with other Arab states, which he expected to follow the Emirates' example, and that the Palestinians would no longer have what he called a veto on peace. The Palestinians have condemned the UAE's decision to break a long-standing Arab policy and normalize relations, while their conflict with Israel remains unsolved.
Yolande Nell in Jerusalem there. In just a few hours, we'll get a checkup on the health of India's economy. It's expected to have contracted 18.3% in the April to June quarter. It would be the biggest quarterly decline on record. Yesterday, the country recorded another record, 79,500 new coronavirus cases. Humanitarian and economic pain has been evident across the country, particularly in Bangalore, dubbed India's Silicon Valley. The BBC's Rahul Tandon has that story.
Bangalore is India's IT capital. It's also its startup capital. It's one of the country's real economic success stories. But now, things are very different. Those are now common sounds in the city. The number of coronavirus cases and deaths are increasing rapidly in Bangalore.
First up, related to COVID-19, big news coming in. The BBMP has declared complete lockdown in the city.
The rising number of cases saw Bangalore go into a lockdown, but it's doing a huge amount of damage to its economy. Lots of those in the IT sector have lost their jobs. Rekha is worried about her future.
I know of people who have been losing their jobs. So yeah, I would say that my days in Bangalore look really bleak.
Kovid Kapoor, like many Bangaloreans, is normally busy tapping away on his computer. But these are difficult times for him and his holiday startup business. He now has no customers and he's worried that there are further dark days ahead.
Things were much better than other metro cities in India, but since then the cases have just, you know, exploded, and that has obviously impacted every kind of business in the city. Our business has been much more badly impacted because we are a travel startup which helps people plan their trips, and the tourism industry in India has completely crashed.
The traffic is back out on the streets of Bangalore, but when will its economy spring back to life? Here's Vijeta Shastri, the executive director of Thai in Bangalore, an organization that works with entrepreneurs.
These youngsters are tough people, the kind of folks who will create opportunities for themselves. The way people are coming together, finding solutions, I think that's very inspiring.
Bangalore is not just India's tech capital, it's its coolest cities. It's young, it's energetic, and it's entrepreneurial. And it's that spirit that's likely to see it recover from the challenges it's facing. I'm the BBC's Rahul Tandon for Marketplace.
And here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.